parenting on Moncrief, thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. FiveRiversFostering.ie.
1890 453 106 is our low call number. Our text number is 53106. That'll cost you 30 cents. You can follow us on Facebook or Twitter or send us an email to afternoon@newstalk.com. It is time for our parenting slot. Joanna Fortune joins us once again. Good afternoon, Joanna.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Okay, first question, somewhat long one, but we're going to get through as much of it as we can. We have a very difficult situation with our 17 and a half year old who's in fifth year. The essence of it is that he started staying out overnight and at times for 48 hours. He's hanging around in savoury areas, for example, O'Connell Street, seemingly with random groups of teenagers. He may start out with his own friends, but doesn't seem to want to go home when they do, attaches himself to whoever else is around. He's been arrested 3 times for fairly minor things, such as shoplifting sweets and trespassing. He dabbles a bit in alcohol and possibly marijuana, but never comes home visibly under the influence. He has borderline IQ, ADHD, dyspraxia and dyslexia, and school holds little interest for him. He's very vulnerable and he's no sense of danger or discernment. He recently invited some young men into our house while we were at work, and after an hour they turned to him and robbed us blind. We have gone from imposing consequences, no phone, pocket money, etc., to grounding him, he walked out the door, to enticements, he never makes it for the set time we agree to, to reporting him missing to the guards, to physically going looking for him, to loosening our curfew, please just come home. He has had unending input from aunts and uncles, his youth worker and family friends, etc. He has been with CAMHS, that's Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services, since 13. But when I requested an emergency appointment recently, they saw us, but told us there's nothing they can do other than prescribe ADHD medication. And in fact, they discharged him back to the care of his GP. We have 2 younger children in the house, so we try to minimise the conflict around this. Generally, he's a pleasant and happy young man. When I ask him why he doesn't want to come home, he says it's boring. What do I do? I am aware that he will be 18 in 6 months and technically an adult. Should I just let him at it? It doesn't feel like the right thing to do. That's from his mum. Crikey, the poor woman.
Yes, that's exactly what comes to mind, isn't it? I mean, it's so long, it's so detailed. She goes from one way to another that she's so worried about him, to should I just let him at it, to he's my son, to he's almost an adult. You can see this has been going round and round in her head for a long time and at quite a loss. I mean, generally when it comes to, you know, parenting adolescents when and these kinds of rules and conditions and things like that, I would, again, not this case, but generally speaking, say set rules or conditions with consideration. Do so sparingly, you know, where you focus on schedule, safety, practice negotiation and hold boundaries and discuss any conflicts you come that arise between you and your teen immediately. Don't let them fester. But I suppose there's other things going on in this case. This is a boy who, a young man who has other developmental considerations and developmental needs that are impacting on his ability to recognise danger, to read social cues in others, to recognise when somebody's being genuine or authentic, to assess risk. Those things are all contributing to that, and that sets him aside from what you would consider general or normal parenting of teenagers. So I pick up on a couple of times she says, you know, he's 17 and a half, in 6 months he'll be an adult. Technically, yes. But just because somebody's chronological age reaches adulthood, it doesn't mean that emotionally, developmentally, and by association, behaviourally, that they're an adult.
Yeah.
It sounds to me like he still needs quite a bit of active parenting in that regard. He's also still in fifth year. So whether or not he becomes a technical adult, he's still attending full-time education and living in your home where you have 2 younger children. So the other thing I pick out in this quite as a positive and something that I would pull on if I was this mum very, very strongly is that network they've managed to build of aunts, uncles, youth worker, family, friends. This is great that they have this support around them because they need support so that they can keep supporting him. And they will also need people who can step in and take an active role with him. Given that CAMHS have discharged him to his GP and he is on the cusp of technical adulthood, I think it is worth using the youth worker, if you still have access, to do a handover or a transitional piece to adult mental health services within the community to see if there are any group works or or support courses that they might run within the community around life skills. I think that would be really important. At home, I think she could do, and possibly is doing this, but a reflection on what makes a good friend or a bad friend. That sounds like quite a young thing to do with a child, but I think saying your friends are not great, the choices you're making are not great, are quite threatening. But if you make it more generally to see, does he understand the traits that make a good or a bad friend, because he is quite vulnerable. So there are things like that that you could be doing. But the other thing that jumps out of at me is that he has little interest in school. He says he's boring. It's boring at home, and that's why he's not there. Mm. He needs an interest. He needs something that's going to engage him, that will offer an alternative to hanging out all hours on streets with people he barely knows. And I think to try and find ways to show him that he is wanted and needed at home, even if that means finding something, some role, some function at home within the family, maybe to do with the younger siblings to empower him, but that he feels that he is wanted, needed and important at home. Because this just reads to me like he feels lost and his parents feel lost dealing with it.
Yeah. But they've done so much.
They've done so much, and they've been linked in with services for over 4 years.
And so you couldn't, you know, you could. There's no obvious thing you could say, well, you haven't tried this.
No, there isn't.
It sounds like they've tried everything. CAMHS, it sounds like, are saying, we don't know what's wrong with them.
Well, they know what's wrong with him in that he has quite a myriad of diagnoses here, and they're offering medication. But sometimes that's what CAMHS can do. But really what's needed
is about what CAMHS can't do. Really.
Well, yes, that's another way to put it. I think really what's needed here is broader social life skills support. And I don't know, perhaps CAMHS did offer some of that at the earlier stages of their engagement with him. And that would be worth exploring if not. But I think try and link with whatever services are available to him. He's at a really awkward age because technically becoming an adult really minimizes the role of his parents in his care, in his mental health care and in interventions. So now is the time to reach again and not to be afraid to become a pain. Get back onto CAMHS and say, he's still under 18. He's still eligible for this service. I need something. And if not, I need you to do a tangible handover to appropriate adult mental health services before you close this case.
He sounds very young for his age.
That's exactly it. Chronological age and developmental age are often misattuned, misaligned. Mm. And for me, I always attend to anybody's developmental age over their chronological. You know, I could see a 3-year-old who's very, very savvy and a 13-year-old who hasn't a clue, but you have to meet them where they're at. And that's why this kind of technical adulthood stage, I would take that with a pinch of salt. He requires active parenting. He's acting out like a younger teen. He's behaving like a younger child, and that's how he needs to be parented. It's just very easy for me to sit here in a studio with you and say that.
Yeah.
On a day-to-day, I think this woman really needs to reach out to that amazing network that she has around her, and maybe everybody sit together, aunts, uncles, family, friends, youth worker and parents and this young man, and try and work out a plan with everyone around the table so that everyone is sharing, look, this is what has worked, what doesn't work, what is okay. So he has a sense of holding from a broader network around him. Mm-hmm. So almost like doing their own little family case conference.
This has cropped up so much, particularly among teenagers, that their answer to everything is that it's boring. And I don't think they mean that. It's they just don't know.
And that's what this reads like, isn't it?
Yeah,
you know, it's that there's somebody here who's just quite lost. It's boring means I don't feel engaged. Because boredom, you know, we could talk about boredom. I love boredom. I think we don't celebrate boredom enough, to be honest. You know, I love a bit of boredom of an afternoon myself.
Yeah.
Don't get enough of it. So I do think that we have to reframe what boredom is for children. It's an opportunity to get creative, and it's only out of boredom that children develop an understanding or insight into their own desires, what they like, what they like to do.
But this is different to that.
Yeah. So this doesn't feel like an authentic boredom for me. This feels like I just don't feel connected, so I'm wandering. That's what it feels like.
The poor fella and the poor
family. And also reach out to the school. He is still in full-time education. So when you're involving consultation with youth worker, family, friends, aunts and uncles, I would try and include a school. If there's somebody, even one teacher in the faculty who has an interest in this boy or has been supporting him, or if they have a guidance counsellor, reach out to the school as well and see, together, combined, can you find a way of connecting him in?
Mm. I'm a mother of four children. There's a big gap between the third child and the youngest of 9 years. My youngest child is, for want of a better word, a nightmare. He was a difficult baby with no routine and had difficulties feeding, sleeping. He's now completely different to the other three. He's 2.5 years of age and constantly throws tantrums and hits out at others, young and old, punching, kicking, biting. He has picked up curse words, uses them regularly in the right context. I have tried the naughty step to no avail. He's due to start Montessori in September, so we need to get his behaviour under control. Please help.
Oh, gosh. Oh, my goodness. I mean, first of all, I'm going to say, you know, babies don't have routines. Parents have routines.
Yeah.
Parents try routines. Mm. We have aspirations of routines, but babies don't have routines and they don't do them well. So when I hear a term, a difficult baby, it immediately makes me want to ask more about that. What does that mean? Because what I understand to be a so-called difficult baby and what someone else does will be two very different things from where we stand parentally. Mm. So I think... Look, you have a family here where you had three children. You'd really left this baby stage behind 9 years, and there you are back at the baby stuff. He sounds like you had a challenging time in his infancy, and difficulties feeding and sleeping are super stressful for parents. Like, really, really are. They can wear you down at a time when you're already on edge. So when you say he's totally different to the other children, my question was, well, who is he like? Who does he remind you of? I think that's an interesting question for any parents listening to reflect on with their children. Who does your child remind you of? And then how do you feel about that person that they remind you of? And what might you be transferring?
Would a toddler be like, make sure aren't toddlers all the same, pretty much?
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, no, no. I mean, that'd be lovely. Yeah. One size fits all, but no. Who does he remind you of?
In the kind of screaming roar.
Oh, yeah. And that's why I think that he's 2.5. He's very much doing what 2.5-year-olds developmentally are supposed to do, which is test your, you know, coping mechanisms. The tantrums are, you know, something that children that age do as a form of communication. They're trying to show you, I'm frustrated, I'm angry, I don't have the language to express that any other way. The word constantly jarred with me, that he's constantly throwing tantrums. That to me sounded like a child who might be distressed and highly frustrated, maybe not feeling understood, and hitting out. Now, that all said, that's well and good, and you still have to deal with it. So this might be unpleasant behaviour, but you have to deal with it. I would say stop doing the naughty step. It is a waste of time with a 2.5-year-old. It's a waste of time with most children, but it's certainly a waste of time with a 2.5-year-old. They don't do cause and effect. They just think you're being unreasonable when you do things like that, and it increases their frustration. So if it's not working, stop doing it. You'll drive yourself nuts. He's due to start Montessori in September, and I think this parent is feeling, I better get him well behaved before he goes. I'm going to challenge that and say, I think Montessori might actually be very good for this child because it's so structured. It is predictable, consistent. They can anticipate with certainty what's going to happen, who's going to be there, the flow of the day. And often children who behaviourally act out can do quite well in a setting that's so structured. So I wouldn't, you know, panic so much about that. I would be suggesting for this parent that they seek some parenting support, because, you know, constantly looking at what the child isn't doing right and isn't doing to fit in with the family behaviour pattern or family routine is not going to change that toddler's behaviour. But often it's about tweaking your parental responses. What buttons are getting pushed in us when our children do these kinds of things? Because that's what we respond out of, not because of what the child has done, but what gets activated in us. So I think make some inquiries about parenting courses. There are many of them. You know, you can look at ones that are more emotionally based rather than behaviour modification, but your local early years, early intervention team within the HSE would have courses running that any parent can access. There's also privately run parenting courses out there. There are a number of them that would be quite therapeutic in parenting style. So make some, you know, do look up a few of them, see what's going to fit with you most, and then I think start with that. So I'm really pushing parenting support on this one.
Yeah. Just one thing that strikes me, and I'm only saying this because I'm in a similar situation, but that it's the age gap.
Yeah.
And like, I have a 2 and a bit year old, But her, and she has loads of siblings, but all her siblings are much older than her. Yeah. So as far as she's concerned, she's loads of adults around her.
She's like a single child.
Yeah, she's like a single child.
Yeah.
So if I don't give her what she wants, she goes to Mammy, Mammy. If Mammy doesn't go, then she sibling. Runs down through the list of names yes. of people who will give her what she wants.
She's so, resourceful.
So she's resourceful. So from the point of view of this 2.5-year-old, now we're 2.5-year-old who uses swear words in the right context. Where's he getting that from? The next oldest is 11. So,
yeah.
you know, and my own kids have done this. Go in and say, shout
yes.
to Mammy.
And they
know,
think it's hilarious.
And they think it's hilarious.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that is true. And, you know, there may be that this, you know, if you're parenting children of a different age as well, I don't know how old the ones above the 11.5
well,
year old are.
Well, she's had a gap of 9 years, so I'm assuming that's
there's nobody got, between 11 yeah, and a half and yeah. 2.5, but even above the 11.5 year old, there's another two or an
yeah,
and
yeah.
yeah. So I think that, yeah, there's definitely something about the role of siblings, but that child isn't going to grow up feeling like, oh, me, my brothers and sisters. They're at completely yeah. different developmental
but no,
stages.
So I think it's like the two siblings, they maybe need to have a chat with the two siblings about you're
boundaries.
In a quasi-parental role here. You have to be able to say no.
And maybe asking the
well.
Two siblings if they could take a role in distracting the younger guy, playing with him, getting him outside, keeping him stimulated. He sounds like he is a bundle of energy. And when you're a bundle of energy, that's lovely once you have an outlet to burn some of that energy
yes.
off. So, you know, you want to look at the ways that you can do that. But again, I would say, you know, embrace Montessori. I think that's going to be really helpful for him.
Yeah. Okay, more questions to come. Before Joanna, we have to take a break though in the meantime. Back in a minute. 53106 is our text number. That will cost you 30 cent. Joanna Fortune is still with us. A few suggestions for the 17-year-old that we were talking about at the start of the show. Someone says, I really feel for this woman. He seems to seek out trouble, forcing him to do anything would only make him rebel more. Someone else suggests contact National Learning Network and get
yeah.
on an access course.
That's
teaches
a great
social
idea.
Skills. Could be worth linking him in with Jigsaw Services
yep.
if available.
Another
in
really
his
good
area.
Organization. Yeah. So that's what I mean when community resources, if that's to make a list, to make inquiries, but get active on it now while he
yeah.
is still at the age he is.
My 4.5-year-old daughter is in preschool and going to school in September. She's the second eldest of four children. Crikey. With 18 months between each child. In the last 2 months, we have noticed a change in her behaviour and attitude. She's watching her other siblings like a hawk and telling her father and me that most things are unfair. For example, she might be given her dinner plate last or second and she'll go into a huff saying it's not fair. I do give turns who gets things first and I'm fair in how I treat them. But she's taking offence at the slightest thing. It's like she's showing signs of middle child syndrome and she has this glass FMT half full outlook. Have you any advice how to snap her out of this? Life will be hard enough without her having these tendencies.
If only we could snap kids out of things. So that would be
yeah.
amazing. Yeah, I mean, gosh, what a busy house, what a busy family. You know, there's a lot going on there, a lot of juggling. And, you know, 18 months to 2 year, that kind of age gap between children means that your sibling rivalry is unavoidable. You're
yeah.
going to have it and it's going to grow with your family. So it's good to get a handle on it now and how you're going to deal with it. And the main thing is don't get pulled into what's fair and what's not fair, because things can't always be fair in a family, because sometimes one child is going to need more of you or more attention or more something than the others. And in general, that will balance out because they'll all need something more at different times.
Mm-hmm.
But things cannot be fair all the time. That said, she's 4.5 years old. And at 4 years old, children start showing more, I suppose, more awareness of moral reasoning, where they do show an increased focus on fairness, on what's good behaviour, on what's bad behaviour, on who's right, on who's wrong. They tend to get this very pronounced sense of justice, bearing in mind they are the judge and jury in that moral reasoning. So what she's doing is developmentally quite appropriate for her age.
Mm.
Now, it did only start in the last 2 months. And again, she's 4.5. So time-wise, age-wise, developmentally, that all fits. I do think that, you know, avoid categorizing her as a middle child or middle child syndrome. I hate the, you know, the use of the word syndrome when it isn't one.
Yeah.
It's really middle child syndrome is a myth that has perpetuated. And I suppose we could reflect on the behavior associated with it. Is it as a result of this myth as opposed to being actually something real. So I would expect a little bit more from her, but empathize with her when she thinks that things aren't fair. That doesn't mean you change what you're doing. There might be a way that you can, you can plate up the dinner at home and everyone comes and takes their own plate, and that's going to get you off the hook with who's getting, because I can't even imagine trying to remember who got their plate first yesterday and who gets it today. Yes. So, you know, you're just giving yourself so much work there. But if you put the plates out at an accessible height and they come get their plates, those who can in your four, and bring it to the table themselves, you know, give some increased responsibility. That's something I felt for this four-year-old with her moral reasoning. At four, you know, it's very frustrating to be small in such a big world, and you have this burning desire for more independence while at the very same time feeling powerless. Mm. So those kinds of lack of synchrony internally do make four-year-olds act out like four-year-olds. I would make sure that every day you are, not just with this four-year-old now, but with all the children and you guys included, the adults, share what was the best bit of your day and what bit do you wish you could change. Don't give a child like this a chance to tell you the worst bit. Say what bit do you think you could change. I think it's going to be more productive. And I think that's going to allow them to talk about highs and lows and hear that everyone in the family had similar experiences.
Yeah.
And that they're a member of a family and part of a system bigger than themselves. Unfortunately, my overall message is, developmentally, this is to be expected, but hold a boundary on it and don't get pulled into making things fair or working to appease her. You've got to hold the parental boundary. It's okay for her to demand fairness. It's not up to her if it always happens.
Right. One last question. My 15-year-old daughter told me the other day that her friend's parents allow her to drink alcohol at the dinner table when she's visiting. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how to handle this. My daughter isn't allowed to drink when she's at her own house. So why do they think they can decide to allow someone else's child to drink alcohol? I don't want to embarrass my daughter by creating a fuss. But on the other hand, I'm not sure how comfortable I feel letting her go to her friend's house when I know she's going to be drinking. What should I do?
This parent is so much more polite than I am.
Yeah.
I would have. I've lost the head at this, at the first mention of it. So I think the reflection and consideration is great, but you've got to take action and act now. You're concerned about embarrassing your daughter, and I think that's very kind and considered. However, your daughter told you that this is happening, and she's 15.
Yeah, she knew that.
She knows that is not a standard practice, that's not a right thing. I would say she recognizes that you wouldn't approve of it, and she is bringing it to your attention, knowing you're going to act on it. So I really emphasize, act on this. Giving minors alcohol is not okay at any level, legally or culturally or socially or anything else. Whatever decisions and choices you make within your own family concerning your own child, you certainly can't do it on behalf of another parent and affect their child. So absolutely not. I would say reach out to these parents as a matter of urgency. It is absolutely okay for you to say, I'm not comfortable with you going to this house.
And they're thick if they don't, for doing it in the first place.
Exactly. So I would address this head on, and I would praise your daughter for bringing this to your attention, because I do think she recognised this isn't okay.
Yeah. Just going back to that fairness question, someone says it's called justice leaguing.
Yeah.
My son does it. And this is what we call it in our house, the constant quest for justice. Jade says, my 3-year-old once said to me, I do the poo and you clean my bum. Fair's fair.
I love that.
Joanna, thanks so much for coming to us. Joanna Fortune there. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Parenting on Moncrief. Thanks to Five Rivers Fostering, providing 24-hour support for foster parents and children. Five Rivers Fostering.ie.